All right. Good evening, everyone. Tonight, we're glad to be with you and pray that all has been well with everybody. And we've had a good week. Got some prayer requests and a couple extra to add to it tonight. Continue to pray for Sister Donna Faye and her chemo treatments, doing well. And we're so thankful to have her and Brother Charlie back in church with us on Sunday. Also, Brother Chuck and Sister Rhonda and Robbie. Appreciate having all of them. Continue to remember Sister Ruby Riddle. Her niece is in the hospital, very critical condition, so I ask that you remember her. Remember Sister Dean and Sister Rose. Remember Brother Don's adopted son who was being tested for cancer. Also remember his neighbor, Calvin Phillips, if you would, lift him up. Sister Jean's brother, Pete, and also Sister Jean just got a text from Sister Barbara, said, and this would be a shock to those who don't know, I didn't know it, she didn't say anything Sunday, but she is going to have a toe removed because it's pushing into her big toe. So do remember that in your prayers. Continue to pray for Brother Bill and Sister Joanne Bynum. Brother Bill recovering from his stomach, his surgery. Remember Caden, just to lift him up, little Caden. He's getting better. Pedro Castro. Remember Serena Garrett. Callie Goins. Lonnie London. Bill McAfee. Ann Grimes, Sister Ann. Patty Taylor. Darren and Jason. Evan, Karen Evans, Larry Crawford. Remember these. Prayer for all those that are sick, of course. Continue to pray for those that are lost, especially in backslidden. Let's pray God will speak to their hearts again. One more time, this side of eternity, our prayers are. And then let's pray for all of our healthcare workers and firefighters and police officers, military, our government, lift them up. Also remember, the Hubbard family, continue to pray for them. Remember Esther, was called by Sister Joanne Dunaway. And then Zach's dad has been traveling. Remember him. And then Laura, remember her, Zach's sister. Remember our shut-ins, Sister Frankie and Sister Juanita, our Sister Mary Jane, Sister Faye, Sister Tawana, Brother Junior, and Sister Ruby, to lift them up. Also remember Sister Tawana's son, Grady, in your prayers as well, to lift him up in prayers as well this evening. And then I did not have any, as far as I know, any prayer requests by email at this point. Do ask that you remember us. We've got some scriptures listed up, put them in our Bible, wanting to give to a young man lives around here. And so do pray that the Lord will open that door, that we can give this to him. So remember that in your prayers. And having said all that, we're going to go through tonight, and we're going to just read all of these different passages that we've written down. We've heard of the Romans Road of Salvation. I'm not going to say that this is anything better than the Romans Road of Salvation, but I am going to say that when I just asked God to help us with the scriptures and what we could write down, I just wanted a lot of scriptures that talked about the sacrifice that Jesus has made for us, his love for us, and then the fact that he is the only way of salvation for us. And so we've written down a whole bunch of scriptures, and with your patience tonight, that's what we're going to read. We're not going to as Zach said Sunday evening, let the Bible preach itself, let it teach itself. And I won't call this a preaching or anything, maybe just a listening. Let's listen to the word, a sermon that God would give us. But anyways, do remember all of those on our prayer request list tonight, and we're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and then we're going to get right into all of these scriptures. Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight for your love. We thank you, dear God, for your mercy and your grace. Father, thank you so very much that you have made it possible for us to be saved and to be redeemed, dear God, to be changed from the vile persons that we are into the man or the woman that you would have us to be, the child of God that you would have us to be, Lord. And Father, we know whilst we're not perfect, dear God, we strive to walk as you would have us to and do what you'd have us to so that we can be pleasing to you, Father, and lead others to you, precious God. Father, we pray, Lord, tonight that you would touch the needs according to your will, according to your plan, and according to your purpose for their lives. Father, asking you to direct and guide, Lord, Father, all of our hearts, Lord. Father, we pray touch the needs according to as you would have it to be done. And Father, I ask you, Lord, tonight, Father, help us to accept that. Father, help us to search your word through and through, dear God, to find what you would have us to do and how you'd have us to be in this life, Lord. Father, I just thank you so very much for giving me the ability to read. Father, the ability to understand. And Lord, while I know I don't know it all because I'm not you, Father, I'm so grateful for what I do know. And Father, first and foremost, put my trust in you, Father, then lead others to you. And so we ask you, Father, tonight, Lord, as we go through these words, through your word, dear God, that you would just give us, Father, the understanding we need, Lord, to be able to better reach out or to pray, Father, that we could be a better witness, Lord, somehow be effective, Lord, to those round about us, dear God, and serving you and showing them you for their salvation. And we'll praise you, Father. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' holy name. And amen. Amen. I titled the one tonight that I've got here, I wrote down here, salvation. On the one that I've got that I was giving away, I put the words, we all need God. And we do. We all need God. There's none of us that don't need God. There's none of us that don't need to be saved. We, everyone, need to be saved. And so, having said all of that, if you would, if you want to start with me tonight, I'm going to be starting off in the book of Isaiah. And the reason for this, and I wrote down all of these scriptures first, and then I got to thinking about this, and I just asked the Lord, help me if there was anything that I was missing. And the one thing that I feel like that God showed me, and there was another verse of scripture tonight, I was going to write it down, but maybe I was just supposed to think about it at the time. But we oftentimes start off with just simply telling people, you're lost, you need to be saved. And then we jump into the book of Romans and we read the scriptures, you know, for all of sin and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. We start off in reading that. And if we're not careful, and not to say the Bible is wrong, because it's not. If we're not careful in the way that we present it, we automatically start off with the fault of us. And for me as a Christian, I understand my fault. As a lost person, they are dealing with having to accept their fault. And so I feel like the Lord was showing me, first show them what I did, why I did it. And that is so easily seen when we read in the book of Isaiah. And so that's why I wanted to go here. And so I want to read to you all these verses that I feel like the Lord gave us. And if there's a verse, a scripture, or something that maybe you feel like we could add to this, you can send that to us or let us know. But, you know, to be honest, the Romans road of salvation, while it is perfect in its Word of God, sometimes I think we try to show what's wrong with us and we miss what God did for us. And so while we do that, let's just think about it. So Isaiah 53, verse 1 says, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? First and foremost, remember, we've got to believe, right? And then who is it revealed to? Romans chapter 1 says, revealed to all. He said, he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. And I know I use this Sunday, Before him is a tender plant, as a root of dry ground. There's no form or comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. And then it says, this is what happened with Jesus. This is what was going to go on. This is the prophecy of what Jesus would go through. He is despised and rejected of men, and he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and he was. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed not, and that's the truth. He said, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And then it says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. These things that happened, Jesus was wounded, Jesus was bruised, Jesus was chastised, and Jesus had received stripes. These things did he for you and me. And if you stop to think about it, he did these things because he loved us. So let's tell folks, here's what we're starting with. Jesus did these things for you and I. And why did he do these things? Well, that's what we get into in reading the scripture, because of our shortcomings, because of our sin. So then the next place I want to go is a scripture that Paul used in the book of Romans in the first chapter. And this sets the basis of why do we use the Bible, right? So Romans chapter 1 verse 16 says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why do we use the Bible? Because I believe it's to be true, right? For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. When we look at the scriptures, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. This is what we use for salvation, to tell people of salvation. And it says, for it is the power of God unto salvation. We need the Bible. And so from there, I want us to go over, and if you want to write these down tonight as we go through them and then look them up a little bit later on, you're welcome to. From there, I want to go to John 3:16, and it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This is what God did for us. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. God desired for us in salvation. He said, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the only begotten Son of God. So now we know why we are condemned, why we are lost, because we've not believed. But yet, if we believe that Christ died for us, then we're able to have, or we will have, in that aspect, if we receive it, salvation. God did not send Jesus here to condemn us, but rather to save us. Again, telling folks what God did. And go back another chapter, to John chapter 1, in verse 11. He said, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. We understand that the Jews did not accept him at that point. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. In other words, we're born again now because we've accepted these facts. We've accepted the fact that Jesus Christ came and died for us. And so when we look at the scriptures, we're just kind of walking through and thinking about these things. These are the message to lost person, to help them see what all God has done and why he's done it. We use this one Sunday. In John chapter 10, and there's several here, starting in verse 7, it said, then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. He's telling us, you want to be saved? I'm the way, right? John 14, he said, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man will enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find green or find pasture. When he's talking about this, he's not talking about going back out into the world and living this world, but he's going to be able to live in the world, but not of the world, right? The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy, but I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. His desire to change us completely and totally. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Jesus laid it down. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and lay down my life for the sheep. Telling folks that Jesus did this willingly, I think should help out in such a great way. Just to think about this, he did not die for me forcibly. He died for us. He died for me willingly. He said, another sheep have I which are not of this fold, them also must I bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. I really believe we can illustrate that Jesus is telling them who he is, what he will do if they just heed and come according to his voice. And then tells them again, I willingly done this. I laid my life down. And so that is so important too when you stop to think about it. You know, so we've got a picture here of the love of God, the reason that Jesus Christ died on Calvary for you and I, the things that are there, what he's taken upon himself for us, the reason he came, was not to condemn, but rather to save. And then when we know that, we go over to the book of Romans in the third chapter, right in verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's just the way that it is. But I just delivered all that good news, you know. That's not the end of it. That's just the understanding of it. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then we go to chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we just read how that Jesus laid down his life for us. He laid it down. He took it up. He's the good shepherd. It's his will. It's his way. He did these things because he loved us. And if you go back to Isaiah, and I was trying to just read all this, but let me just follow this up. When you go back into Isaiah and you read there what in that whole book, it says this in verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him and hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make a soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his day. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. I mean, God loves us more than we can imagine. And then Romans chapter 5, verse 6, we'll read. He said, for when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. So we know that we're sinners, right? We know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know that there's none righteous, no, not one. But here's the good news. When we understand that, we also can understand that when we were yet sinners, that's when Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled we shall be saved by his life. That comes through Jesus. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. When we accept him, we get that atonement, right? Paul, writing over here, said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayers for Israel is that they might be saved. And he goes on in Romans chapter 10, and he writes this, starting in verse 8. But what saith the word? What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all who call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Church, it just doesn't get any plainer than this. And this is such a blessed hope to think about this, that the word is there. The word is nigh, even in thy mouth. And, you know, it's just one of those things when we start reading the scriptures and we start understanding why it is that God gave us the word. It was to clarify his love for us. Also to clarify, though, too, that there is a punishment for disobedience. There is a punishment for rejection. But we have the word here to show us that God has a desire for us and that he loves us. Brother Reg Kelly said the other day that God loves us unconditionally, in that he loves us, but yet there are conditions in which God has established through his word in order for us to spend an eternity in heaven or an eternity in hell. And that conditions are that we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives and we follow him, or we reject. And if we if we accept and we follow, he leads us unto life eternal. If we reject and we don't, then we follow the devil into life of an eternal hell. And I don't want to go there, and I know tonight that you don't either. So we'll go on. Hebrews chapter 11. It's kind of a walk through the scriptures. Once we got into John, we jump back and forth just a moment, but excuse me. That is not the one I was thinking of. Did I write down the wrong scripture? I did. Hope I didn't write down the wrong one there. I didn't. I wrote it down wrong on my sheet. Hebrews chapter 11 is correct, but it's not verse 16, which I had written down. It is verse 6. It is, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You think about that. We're putting our hope in the Lord, in that while we have to have faith, and we come to him, it is impossible without faith to please him. Look what he says. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. In other words, God is real. God, you know, God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Holy Ghost. And he said, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so we seek after the Lord, and we follow him to do this. And I'm going to go back here. The Lord just gave me that scripture. So let me flip back here. I was almost in the wrong book there. I'm going to write it down right here in the corner. I'm going to get to it in just a minute here. Sorry for this, but I'm not. All right, back over here to Hebrews. I went backwards a couple chapters, remember. So now we're faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. I love that part, that, you know, we do not search in vain. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And then Hebrews chapter 9, starting in verse 11. It says, "But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and of calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of heifer sprinkling and unclean sanctify the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works and serve the living God." He offered himself, and therefore we need to purge ourselves from dead works. We need to let God have his way. I think about the scripture, and I'm not going to add it to it, but I think about the scripture in Romans chapter 8. He says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." That's purging. That's changing the way that we're living in that. And then we go over to 1 Peter chapter 1. And again, it testifies of Jesus here. In verse 18, it says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by traditions of your fathers." In other words, salvation is not bought by earthly things, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's how we're redeemed. It's not earthly things. It took the precious blood of Jesus Christ, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing then ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Again, that ties right back into Romans chapter 1, verse 16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Why? Because this is the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. This is the word in which we hear and we receive that allows us to understand God's mercy, God's grace, and his desire for us to be saved, and then receiving that and receiving salvation. So then we go to 1 Peter chapter 5 this evening, and I thought about these two as I was reading this. In verse 6 it says, "Humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." We're going to allow God to lift us, because why? We're going to humble ourselves. A lot of times we're not very humble. And I know a lot of folks who say, "Well, I don't need to be saved." I needed it. I'm going to be honest with you. And I still do. I needed to be saved, and I still need to be saved. In other words, I need to live that life of salvation. I need God. He's not a crutch. He's the gurney. I've got to have him carrying me. I've got to have him holding me up. As we sing a song at church every so often, "I can't even walk without him holding my hand." And last time we got to sing that, I looked at the choir and I said, "I can't even crawl." That's just the truth. We need him desperately. And so it says, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth," or "casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Now think about that for a second. A lot of folks say, "Well, I'm lost. I don't know what to do." Well, ain't that wonderful? He says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." I'm just going to give this over to God, because God can take care of it and I can't. That's wonderful to me. But as soon as we start doing that, the devil's right there. So verse 8 was really important. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Just remember this. Just as soon as the seed was sown, in this parable of the sower, seed would be sown, the devil would come and immediately try to snatch it off, try to take it out of the hearts and minds of people before that they could receive the blessings of receiving the word of God. And that's what he does, you know. He's just right there. He is a aggravator. He is an instigator. He is a terrorizer. You know, if you can think of a fearful thing that the devil will do, he's there. He's that. But I'm so grateful tonight that my God, he's a creator, and he's a king. He is a purifier. He is a justifier. He is a sanctifier. He is everything. And for that I praise him, and that I glorify him. And then we go to John, 1 John chapter 1. Just some more scriptures talking about our condition and then God's willingness. So 1 John chapter 1 verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. This is his telling us we have to be sure where we're at, because there are a lot of folks who want to say they're of God or they're with God, but they're walking in evilness. They're walking in deceit, and they are terrorizing. They are destructive. We call it hypocrites or two-faced. Basically, they claim one thing and they live another way. But in God, there is no darkness, the Bible says, at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So he's telling us right up front, you're not going to get away with it. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, cleanses us from all sins. That is our hope, eternal salvation right there. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth of God is not in us. Remember, Romans says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And John is saying there, if we say that we have no sin, then folks, we're without hope when we don't think we have any sin. And the truth is not in us. But verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I am so grateful for that tonight, that I can say to God, forgive me of my sins. And he does it, because it said right there, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Church, and I just say tonight, I really don't know that I've ever met somebody who said, I don't sin, or never have sinned. But, you know, I'm sure there's people out there, the Bible wouldn't have said it like this if there wasn't somebody out there arrogant enough to say, well, I'm not a sinner, I don't sin. For all have sinned. That's what the Bible says. All have sinned. And so I needed Jesus just as much as you need Jesus, regardless of how good you think your life is. The facts of the matter is this: our good will never outweigh our bad, no matter what we do. But we don't have to worry about that. Instead, we have let the blood of Jesus Christ be applied. And that's the next verses that we get to, is John chapter, 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He took it upon himself to be our substitute. Can't praise him and can't thank him enough for doing that, because of how much he loved me. He willingly took that upon himself to die for me, so that I would not have to die for my sins. Instead, I give my life to him. And when I die, this body will die, because it had a sin nature. And the flesh, the Bible says, flesh and blood cannot or will not inherit the kingdom of God. But yet I know this, because he died for me. When this old body goes to the ground, the spirit returns and the soul returns to God who gave it. And at that point in time, I'll have a new body, and I praise God for that too. One that doesn't know any sin, one that doesn't know any type of diseases or ailments or anything. I'm telling you what, I'm looking forward to that. The next verse of scripture we had was 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. And this is the description of things. He says, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins." And I just can't express enough how important it is to let folks know that God loves them. And he done this for us. This all happened so that we could have eternal life abiding in us. This is all taking place so that you and I can have hope. And somebody would say, well, if there's a heaven and there's a hell, then who gets to, you know, really, we don't know and stuff. They might have a question there. But I want to tell you something. I know that I know that I know, because the Holy Ghost has told me he knows, and what he knows. Now I know in this, that if I give my life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and follow after him, he's not leading me in the wrong direction. He's not leading me down the wrong path. And so when you get down to the end of it, and the old devil says, well, there's no hope. Well, here's what I want to tell you. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death." The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. He has it in his hands. Why would we not want to follow him? He controls the gates of hell. He has the keys of hell and of death. And not just keys of when somebody goes to that point, but also he has the authority to tell who goes where. And he does that based upon our faith and trust in him. So when we sum it all up, and I wrote on the end of this one here, I'd be more than glad to answer any questions. In other words, I'd like to talk about these scriptures and what I've wrote here, just to help clarify to the understanding that what I'm trying to show you is that we need to be saved. We must be saved. But it's not an impossibility. Rather, it's a probability based upon the fact that if we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That there, he said, "I come that they might be saved." That's the whole point. He didn't come and make us. He come and presented to us that choice. And so when we think about this, once we understand these things in the gospel, not understanding the whole gospel, because I'm going to tell you the truth, I've been reading this Bible since before I was saved. And now that I am saved and reading it, I look at that and I go, wow, you know, and didn't know that, or wow, how is that going to take place? How's that going to come to pass? And it's not for me to understand everything, but rather it is for us to believe it because God wrote it. But here's the deal. In Acts chapter 8, Philip is joined unto the Ethiopian. And as they're going along there, the Ethiopian's returning. He's praying, and he's got the question, how can I understand? How do I know? And so in verse 35, it said, "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus." What was he reading? Well, he was reading in the book of Isaiah. It says here, "Was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit of the Lord said unto Philip, go near and join thyself unto the chariot." So this is where we're picking up, verse 35. He opened his mouth and began to preach at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. As they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said unto him, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Now, church, that is vitally important. There are a lot of other versions of this Bible that took that verse of scripture out of there, removed it. And basically, they say, well, here's water, get baptized. There was a qualifier that Philip put in this, and it's so vitally important for us to realize that when God puts qualifiers in there, they're not to be removed, but rather they are to be heeded, because he's telling us this. You know, when you ask the question, well, how do I? Here's the answer. And that's what Philip was telling the Ethiopian. He said, you know, here's water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he confessed. Remember, Jesus said, if you confess me not before men, I'll confess you not before my Father and his angels. Well, he confessed. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so that is so important. So you want to be saved, you have to believe that Jesus Christ is. Remember what he said, for it's impossible to please, for without faith it is impossible to please him, for they that believeth that he is God, they believe that he is, right? Here it is. So he believes that he is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went both down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Why did he baptize him? Because he believed in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He believed in, he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That was the hindering part. If he had not believed, then he could not be baptized. And I'll just say this tonight and close. A lot of folks have been dunked in this world because they don't believe and they've never confessed. So they went and they got baptized because they said, well, if you want to join the church, you got to be baptized. And, put all these criteria upon being part of the church and so forth and so on. Well, I'm going to tell you something tonight. You want to be part of the body of Jesus Christ? That doesn't mean you're part of the church. It means you're part of the body of Jesus Christ. Having a church membership to where you can vote and have a say in business and political matters, or if that's the way it's run, that's one thing. But I want to be part of the body of Christ. I want to be part of the church of God. And I want that to be. And in order to do that, you must believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You must confess that. And if you do those things, then you have received salvation. And water baptism is the outward sign of the inward commitment. And that's all it is. Not that I'm saying that we shouldn't be baptized. I believe that we should. But it's not the condition of salvation. Belief in Jesus Christ and God the Father is the condition of salvation. And so I just wanted to read these scriptures tonight and share them with you. And just say for you again to pray as we turn these over to a non-believer, as far as I know, and pray that it does just exactly what God's Word says. God's Word said that it would go out and accomplish that which He sent it to do. It would not return unto Him void. And that doesn't mean that everybody will be saved, but rather that that heart will be convicted and a choice will have to be made. And for that, you know, we pray that the right choice is made in this life or any life as far as that goes, that they would receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So having covered all of that tonight, we want to go to the Lord in prayer again and just pray that, you know, we will do what God would have us to do every day of our lives so that we can be a light for someone else, shining the truth of Jesus into other people's lives is our most important task that we'll ever do in our daily walk. So, Father, tonight we thank you, Lord, again, and we love you, dear God. We praise you, Father, for the blessings, for the mercy and grace that you give us. And we ask you, Father, this evening, to lead us, to guide us, to direct us, Lord. Strengthen us, Father, we ask you and we pray. Lord, let your will be done in our lives, our hearts, and our homes, dear God. We pray, Father, for those that are sick and afflicted. We pray, Father, for those that are lost. We pray, Father, for those that are backslidden. Asking you, Lord, tonight to once again, one more time, this side of eternity, please convict their hearts, Lord, we pray. so that they would not leave this walk of life without you. And we do ask you, Father, help us, Lord, each one, each day, step up and do the right things, Lord, that others can see you and never be ashamed to say you're the reason, you're the answer, you're the best thing that ever happened to us, Lord, we pray. So for that tonight, dear God, we ask you, Lord, have your way in all these things, and we'll give you glory in Jesus' name, and amen. Amen. Do remember praying one for another. Pray for those on the prayer request list that we read. But also, let's pray hard for those that are lost and backslidden, in that God would give us another opportunity, give them another opportunity to receive him as Lord and Savior. For that, we say, God bless you. We love you. Hope to see you on our Sunday evening services, or Sunday morning, Sunday night service. If you can join us, we'd love to have you. God bless.